how serious of an issue is human trafficking in South Florida relative to the rest of the country?
Well, Florida itself ranks in the top five, and South Florida is number one in Florida in human trafficking. We had a hearing at the Rules Committee, and Kathy Fernandez-Rundle, our state's attorney for Miami-Dade, testified. And one of the reasons that she got interested in the issue earlier in 2012, I think she said, was when she saw those statistics. So she has led our center, which combines the police and health services and housing services, as well as her prosecution team for Miami-Dade. And of course, with the Super Bowl coming up, everybody knows that there should be heightened awareness of human trafficking. And as you probably know, the Women's Fund in Miami-Dade, as well as the Super Bowl itself and the Super Bowl committee, have all come together, and there are billboards and lots of information to make people aware and very conscious and educate them on, so that if they see something happening, they can report it.
It may seem obvious because Florida is one of the largest and most populated states, but do we know what makes this region, again, especially South Florida, such a target for traffickers?
Well, first of all, we're very diverse. And in some communities, a person would be highlighted because they're not from that community. We're such a diverse community. And second, I think the presence of international sports and big events offer human traffickers opportunities that they don't have in other more homogeneous and smaller communities. It's very much a big city issue for us in South Florida, but it's an issue in which every part of our community has to both be aware and be trained to protect young girls and young boys. These are basically young people that are being trafficked, and they're being trafficked from other places in the world and brought to South Florida, in addition to people that are being trafficked in our own community. I think the immigration issues create a certain degree of problems, because someone who is brought to this country illegally is locked in because they're frightened. If they report, they'll be deported. And traffickers destroy their confidence and their dignity, and they don't have the strength to get out of the situation. When we can get them out, they need all kinds of support services. They basically have PTSD.
I wondered, from your conversations with state officials, do you believe that there are enough protections in place in South Florida to help the victims of sex trafficking?
I think that we have one of the best models in the country to protect victims and to help them once they're identified and to prosecute the people that would traffic them. But we don't have enough services, and that's a serious resource problem. And what I mean by services is mental health services, housing, job opportunities, and legal services.
And because that was interesting, you talked about that we have this model that other states can copy. And that, is that what you're getting at, is basically the services we're providing?
Yes, but it's combined in the state's attorney's office with prosecuting those that would traffic these young people.
And what about the extent of law enforcement agencies working together, targeting the Johns or the pimps, and not just going after the sex workers?
Well, we're actually at another level of sophistication, and these are syndicates. These are organizations. So it's not a matter of just targeting the Johns that would use one of these victims. It's also the organizations that kidnap them or entice them into going into prostitution. So what you want to do, much of this is, a lot of this is organized crime, and you want to get at and put them away for years.
One of the key problems in targeting sex traffickers, especially, is a lot of this activity is done online. So you're talking about a lot of anonymity. How are state officials, federal officials, law enforcement agencies trying to identify these individuals online, track that criminal activity to protect the victims?
Well, the FBI has a whole organization that does exactly that. In Miami-Dade, we have to depend on our local police and our state's attorney for law enforcement. And they're working with the hotels and the massage parlors. Those people actually come to the state's attorney and ask for help in identification. And they're training healthcare workers, including those in emergency rooms, need to be trained. And frankly, we have training for teachers, because teachers often are the first ones to hear from a young person that they're being trafficked.
And speaking about that training, I mean, you know, bipartisan, as you know, bipartisan legislation was filed in the House by your colleagues earlier this year, Human Trafficking and Exploitation Prevention Training Act of 2019. Can you help us understand what that training, that legislation would institute?
Well, this is Debbie Wasserman Schultz legislation, I think. Yes, it's bipartisan, and our hearing was very bipartisan. This is not a partisan issue. What we're talking about is training everybody in the community. And that starts with the institutions, with the police, with the school, with the teachers in the classrooms, with the emergency room workers, with doctors, with nurses. Everybody in our community has to be knowledgeable.
When you were at the University of Miami, you put on a human trafficking summit that you were a part of, and Miami-Dade County Superintendent Alberto Carvalho was also there, pledging to dedicate resources to identifying victims. What have you seen, since then, or what have you heard about since then about how the schools are also on the front lines of this issue?
Well, they absolutely are on the front lines, because a young person is more likely to tell their teacher than they are often their parent or another adult. And so his commitment is really important for our community.
Coming back to what you said briefly on the Super Bowl, that's barely, 2 months away here in South Florida, and that's one of the big events that you mentioned. Big events attract a lot of this activity. What else, can we expect to see, in the vamp up to that, that event?
Well, all of us should look to the Women's Fund has made an enormous commitment, as has our Super Bowl committee, our Miami-Dade Super Bowl committee, as has the NFL. It's really a community effort to focus on this issue and to use it as an opportunity to educate the whole community. And maybe you've seen the billboards that have started to go up
Yes.
in the community.
I wanted to switch gears here because obviously, the big news is the impeachment hearings these past several weeks. And of course, the House recently filed two articles of impeachment against the president. He's been charged with abuse of power in the Ukraine affair and obstruction of Congress. I wanted your take on the two articles of impeachment and what you feel is going to happen next.
Well, I think that we're going to vote on those articles next week. They'll have to come to my committee, to the Rules Committee, to set a rule for them. But I think that we will have a vote next week, and it will pass.
And have you already decided how you're going to vote on this?
Yes, I will vote for impeachment. The president clearly has abused his power. He's obstructed Congress and trying to basically bribe the Ukraine into investigating one of his opponents. He's interfering in the 2020 election, and it's a clear violation of his oath of office.
I'm sure you've heard the concern from some people, some Americans, that the House will impeach, but the Senate will not. This is similar to under President Clinton, the House impeached, the Senate did not. If that happens, what do you think happens then?
Well, I think the important thing is, look, I'm elected to the House. I took an oath of office. I have to fulfill that oath for the people who elected me. And the Senate and our senators have to make their own decision. But we don't do this lightly. I think it'll be a very sad day for all of us. None of us came to Washington to impeach a president. I do so reluctantly, but the evidence is so clear that he violated his oath of office, that he put national security at risk, and that he did everything he could to interfere in an election. And we just cannot stand by and say the president can get away with what the rest of us couldn't get away with. He's not above the law. And the framers of the Constitution designed the impeachment section with exactly that in mind.
The documents brought forward by the House argue that the actions were consistent with President Trump's previous invitations of foreign interference in our elections. Florida is well aware of the dangers posed by this interference. We know from the Mueller report, Florida counties were targeted in 2016. What is your level of confidence in the security of our elections coming up before next year?
Well, we're going to spend a lot of money making sure they're secure. But I don't think, after our experience in Florida and our experience with the President of the United States inviting a foreign country to interfere in our elections, that any of us should be anything other than vigilant.
I wanted to get two more questions in, not related, but first I wanted to get your take, if possible, on the trade agreement. This is something, even with all the impeachment talks, this is something that a bipartisan effort to try to get the president's trade deal in. This is the USMCA. This is the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian trade agreement. What's your take on how this is all played out? And do you believe that this is a good deal? This is the after NAFTA deal.
Yes, it's much different from NAFTA. It protects workers. It has a lot of enforcement in it. We've been able to eliminate protections for the drug companies that were actually irrelevant. I asked both the Canadians and the Mexicans whether they had asked for protections for our drug companies. Neither one of them had that on their list. It was just put in by the administration. We got that out. But I think that it now is ready for a vote, and I intend to vote for it. It's important to the people of South Florida. It helps American businesses more than it helps the Canadian and the Mexican businesses, but it does raise the standards for Mexican workers, and I think that's a good thing.
I want to finish with this. I know we have 11 months before the election, but Florida will obviously play a big role in this election, as it has in previous elections. What do you think for Florida voters, and I'm just wondering what they're telling you, what they see as the most important thing?
Health care. Everybody talks to me about the cost of prescription drugs and about health care and about struggling to pay for their health care. That's number one. Number two in South Florida is immigration. Our immigration laws are broken. They need to be fixed. I believe in strong borders, but I also believe that we should take care of the DACA kids and for the people that are here, whether they're on temporary protective status or they're here without status. I think it's important that we find a pathway to citizenship, no matter how long it takes, for people who have essentially been good citizens of our country. I also feel very strongly that we're scaring immigrants in our community, so they're not registering their kids, American-born, who are eligible for school lunches or for health care, and I think that's a terrible thing. But we need to get an immigration bill done. We're We've got thousands of family members that have not been brought to the United States, whose families are here, who filled out all the paperwork, who paid the fine, whatever the costs were, that are waiting. We don't have an embassy there, so they can't be interviewed. They have to get to Guyana. Guyana is way backlogged. These are tragic stories. So I think it's very important that we get some order to our immigration system. And absolutely, we have to stop tearing kids away from their mothers.
And of course, the election's next November, but the primary is just around the corner. That's coming up in March. Congresswoman Shalala, thank you so much for the time. I
You're
really
welcome.
appreciate it.
You're welcome.